We welcome you to the Tabernacle Podcast, brought to you by the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Hickory, North Carolina. If you'd like to learn more about Tabernacle, you can visit our website, tabernaclebaptistchurch.com. You can find other sermons like this one on Apple Podcast, YouTube, and Sermon Audio. It is our prayer that God has used this message to be an encouragement to your heart.
We're in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and we've come tonight to the Lord's table in obedience to the Lord. And as we come to the Lord's table, we recognize that it is a table of obedience. It is a command of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye drink, as ye eat rather this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." So Paul is telling the Corinthians, he's setting some things straight in this chapter concerning their faulty ideas and the way that they conducted this supper had gotten out of hand, which was, of course, a characteristic of the Corinthian church. And so he's helping them, and he's teaching them that to come together to observe the Lord's table, we need to understand that it is a table of obedience. And then it is a table of thanks, a table of gratitude. Verse number 24, the apostle writes, "And when he, speaking of Christ, had given thanks," the Lord Jesus, as he took the bread and as he broke it, before he did so, he gave thanks. He thanked the Father for providing the bread. And of course, he himself was the bread that was to be broken and the blood that was to be shed for us. And we ought to come to the Lord's table tonight with thankful hearts for his sacrifice, as we have sung throughout this day of his death, his atonement for our sins in the crucifixion. We must give thanks that he loved us and that he gave himself for us. It is a table of remembrance. Look in verse 25, the last part of the 25th verse. He said, "This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." These are the words of the Lord Jesus to his disciples. This do ye. Observe this supper as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. We remember what the Lord has done. And then in verse 26, he said, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." It is a table of declaration. Ye show the Lord's death. You declare the Lord's death, that we not forget the price that has been paid in order to redeem us from our sins. The provision of the perfect sacrifice. The purchase, as we learned, of a peculiar people this morning, as Peter wrote of it. And the payment that secured that purchase, the blood of Jesus Christ, the spotless lamb, without blemish. And then lastly, in verses 27 through 30, we find that it is a table of personal examination. As we come to the table, we come in obedience. As we come to the table, we come with gratitude. We come in remembrance of Christ's sacrifice. And we come and declare it so that we not forget it, and that we teach our children and the generations to come what the Lord did for them. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ being broken for us, signified in the bread. The blood of Christ spilled for us, signified in the juice. And then a table of personal examination. As we come to the table, we reflect upon the condition of our own heart and our fellowship with the Lord. And if we know the Lord Jesus as Savior, then that fellowship cannot be broken, but it can be hindered, and it is hindered by our sin. And so as we come to the table and we examine our own hearts, we want to make confession to the Lord if there be any sin in our life, anything that is hindering our fellowship with Him. It really is, in this time of personal examination, a time of cleansing and renewal. And this is why the Lord has instituted this supper, this table. Now, I just want to give you a thought tonight on this declaration. In verse 26, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. This is the declaration of the Lord's death. And just by way of thinking tonight, three aspects of it. First of all, to understand that the Lord's death was a sacrificial death. Some may ask, why was it necessary for Jesus to die? Well, it was altogether necessary. Because had He not died, the Bible said He tasted death for every man. Had He not died, then all of us would still be dead. He died and He rose again in order to give us life. And He died a sacrificial death, meaning that He willingly gave His life for us. Look, if you would, please, in John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. Jesus said to His disciples, I am the good shepherd, in verse number 14. I'm the good shepherd. In John chapter 10 and verse 14, He said, I'm the good shepherd and know My sheep and am known of Mine. As the Father knoweth Me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down My life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear My voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth My Father love Me, because I lay down My life that I might take it again. Notice what the Lord said. He said, I lay down My life. Verse 15, I lay down My life for the sheep. Again in verse 16, I lay down My life. Verse 18, no man taketh it from Me. They did not murder Him. They did not kill Him. They could not kill Him. Why? He is the author of life.
Yeah.
He is the way, the truth, and the life. So no man could take His life from Him. Had He chosen, we sing the song and we know the truth of God's word, He could have called a legion of angels to deliver Him. They had no power to take Him. They had no power to kill Him had He not willingly laid down His life. And here in these verses in John chapter 10, the Lord makes that abundantly clear to us on three occasions. I lay it down. I in giving to You My life. The Lord's death was a sacrificial death. He said again in verse 18, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of My Father. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, John, writing again on this theme, said, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. Why did He die a sacrificial death? Because He loved us. For God so loved the world that He gave. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. This love of Jesus that compelled Him to go to the cross and die a sacrificial death. And so tonight we need to rejoice and thank God for His sacrifice, the sacrifice of His life, that was made because He loves us, all of us, and all who have rejected Him. He loves them, and He went to the cross and died for them. The Lord's death was a sacrificial death. What sacrifice is He called upon us to make? And in light of His sacrifice, is there really any sacrifice that He has asked us to make? And so may God help us, as we learned this morning, to offer those spiritual sacrifices unto Him. Secondly, I want you to see that the Lord's death was a substitutionary death. It was a substitutionary death. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6, "For when we were yet without strength," when we had no life, no spiritual life, "we were dead in our trespasses and sins. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Notice that he died for those who were ungodly. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He died a sacrificial death. He laid down his life, and he died a substitutionary death. He died in our place. He took our sin upon him. And when he went to the cross, he did not go to the cross a condemned sinner, because he was not a sinner. He went to the cross having received the cup of our sin. As he prayed in the garden, "Let it pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done." And so he willingly drank the cup of our sin. The Bible said the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He became the sin bearer, and he died in our place. He died for us so that we would not have to experience the second death. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." Jesus Christ knew no sin. In other words, he never sinned. He could not sin. He was the Son of God, and God cannot sin. Satan enticed him and tempted him to sin. And the Bible said he was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. And we know that he resisted Satan and defeated him in every point. So when he went to the cross, he was made to be sin for us. All of our iniquity, every wicked deed that has ever been perpetrated by mankind, was poured on Jesus. He became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All of my sin poured on him. His righteousness poured in me. What an amazing thought. This death of Christ is the death that he suffered in our place. It was a substitutionary death. And so tonight, as you take the Lord's Supper, remember that that body and that blood that was broken and spilled in your place, a sacrificial death, as he gave his life for us. And he died in your place, a substitutionary death. And then lastly, I want you to see that the Lord's death was a satisfactory death. The Bible says in Isaiah, "It pleased the Lord to bruise him." What does the Bible mean by that? It means that when Christ made the payment for our sin, he satisfied the just demands of a holy God. You see, when you think about this concept of forgiveness, when you think about our guilt and what we deserve as sinners, we wonder, how is it that God can let us go free? How can we escape the punishment? How can those who have perpetrated great crimes escape their punishment? Well, justice demands that a punishment be given. A judgment be given, and the judgment has come, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And the wages of sin, the judgment against us, the justice as it is pronounced against us, demands the wages of sin be paid, and the wages of sin is death. Not only a physical death, but a spiritual death, eternally, apart from God in a dreadful place called hell, a place of torment, a place of suffering. And that is the wage of our sin. But Jesus Christ suffered for us, making the payment for our sin. And when he suffered and died, he said in John chapter 19 and verse number 30, "It is finished." It is finished. And that term, "it is finished," is a term that any business person in that era would have understood, because it meant the transaction was complete, the payment was issued in full. Jesus Christ suffered the wrath and judgment of God for you and I on the sin, on the cross of Calvary. He suffered the judgment for our sin on the cross of Calvary, and his blood sacrifice, the sacrifice of the perfect spotless Lamb, the Son of God, satisfied the holy just demands of God, because Christ is altogether righteous. He was the only one who could make the sacrifice for your sin and mine. And when he died on the cross, he made the payment in full. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 22 tells us this: "Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission." Those Hebrew readers would have understood what that meant. It meant that the atonement price for my sin was the shedding of blood. And that was the only thing that could satisfy God's justice and God's righteousness. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, the writer of Hebrews writes, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He became a man in order that he might live among us and in order that he might die." He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. His sacrifice was sufficient for every man. The atoning blood of Jesus is sufficient for every man. And therefore, it is a satisfactory death, meaning that God is satisfied with the payment that his Son has made. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Where is Jesus? He's ascended into heaven. Amen. And he is dwelling in heaven. And what is he doing? He is interceding for us to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often. He's not as the priest that we read about this morning, those Old Testament priests who have to continually make sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. Jesus does not have to make any other sacrifices. Why? Because his one sacrifice was satisfactory. "As the high priest entereth," he said, "into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." His sacrifice was satisfactory. It put away all of our sin once and for all. And so when we come to God tonight, we come with the thoughts of our own sinfulness. Even as the saints of God, we come with the thoughts of our own sinfulness, our attitudes that are not right and what they should be, our words that we've uttered this week, our actions. We can come and find cleansing through the blood of Jesus. "For if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just." That's why he's just, because he has satisfied the Father in making the full payment for our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So let's come to the Lord's table tonight. And let's show the Lord's death and declaring it in our own hearts, declaring it in our homes, thinking of what Christ has done. And as we go through this week leading up to the Resurrection Sunday, I want to encourage you to reflect upon the Lord's death.
Thank you for listening. We pray that God has used His Word to speak to you today. If you'd like to learn more about Tabernacle, you can visit us online at tabernaclebaptistchurch.com. There, you'll find additional information about our church, opportunities to partner with us financially, as well as other resources that we hope can be a help to you. May God bless you, and thank you once again for listening.